session, Mr. Kiernan. Report, please.
Yes, we went into closed session at 12:08, came out at 12:35. With respect to item 12A, Supervisor Crispin motion, Supervisor Hoff seconded, and the board by a vote of 4-0 approved hiring counsel to defend the suit reference in item 12A. That's the only determined option.
Wendy, do you need to mention the source process, please?
Yes, it sounds like Supervisor Kopseff was not present for closed session and will be absent for the rest of the day, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, on to our regular scheduled programming. 1:30, we've got Board of Supervisors. We're going to have a public hearing for an appeal by Lewis Simbold.
Good afternoon, Shelley Gray, Assistant Planner. Lewis Sinibaldi and Joan Mendoza are requesting a use permit approval to allow a short-term vacation rental use of their existing single-family dwelling.
Slide two.
The property is located at 1900 Maple Drive, approximately 4 miles southwest of the city of Weed. The subject property is approximately a five-acre parcel developed with a single-family dwelling. The residence is a 2,256 square foot two-story dwelling with two bedrooms. On March 15th, the Planning Commission voted to deny this project due to the project not being compatible with neighboring properties, presenting a possible threat to public health and safety. Additionally, the Planning Commission raised concerns of limited road access for ingress egress during heavy snowfall, adequate parking on site for renters, and high fire danger due to the dense tree canopy surrounding the home and neighborhood. Maple Drive is a private road that is maintained by resident owners on a volunteer basis. There is no known formal written road maintenance agreement for Hammond Ranch roads. During winter months, the road narrows from a two-lane road into a one-lane road, which makes it impassable due to heavy snowfall and high burns if a vehicle becomes stranded. At the base of the entrance, ascending south towards the subject property, the road has an approximate 18% slope, and that's represented by the red on the slide at this time. It gradually, as it ascends up the road, the blue represents an approximate 5% slope that starts to level out a little bit more, and the yellow represents the increase into a 15% slope, just short of the about 200 feet approximately from the project site. As you're going up in that 200-foot span up to the residence, the staff visited the site on April 11th, and there's large patches of ice, several, as you go up the road due to the dense tree canopy that shades that road. This is a view of the designated parking area at the project site. A minimum of 4 9-foot by 20-foot parking spaces are required as a condition of approval prior to the issuance of a permit. In the staff report, you did probably see figure 6 on page 8, I believe, had a layout of the site map that the owner applicant stated how the parking would be. It would change a little bit with the conditions of various snowfall, but it could be in tandem. However, there's concerns about the ice patches on the north end of that driveway. It's pretty thick right by the entrance of the steps to the house. So. On March 21st, 2023, Cal Fire made a third attempt to access the property. That's the center photo that you see there in the slide, to perform a 4290 inspection, and was again unsuccessful due to the snow conditions and ice present on the access road to the project site. The photo on the left is from the resident that is just before you begin to approach the access road that goes south to the project site. And the one on the far right is our site visit and the conditions of the road as you begin Maple Drive. Slide 8. Staff is providing a video of the road as you begin Maple Drive. Bear with me, it's 5 minutes, but it may go fast. I'll have you look at it. It's pretty pretty rough road in a lot of areas, and it gets worse as we get further along. And as I said, it's a two-lane road going east to west. And then as you get closer to the road that heads south, which is the road that needs to be taken by guests to access the project site, it is definitely more narrow because of the snowfall and the high berms on the side of the roads. No, I'm sorry, I couldn't provide that for you today, so we'll just hum along. Just wait for it, it's coming.
There. You did say these are 5-acre parcels up there?
Yes, it is a 5-acre parcel for the most part. Yeah, the subject parcel is, but for the most part, yes. So we're just passing 1820 Maple Drive right here. And it begins to narrow a little bit more here. And this is where the base of the entrance is, and our vehicle is going to be stalled here for a moment because we were stuck and we had to put it in four-wheel drive in order to get up this steep slope, to get up this area. A lot of the composite material is pretty loose and muddy and containing a lot of ice and water down below. Might be where the area that guests are getting stuck and cannot proceed to designated parking. We have an expert vehicle driver assessing the four-wheel drive mechanism in the vehicle. It's at the base of the entrance. We measured about approximately 18%, and that's being conservative.
Okay.
Between 18-20. It does level off up here. This is the 5% as we ascend up this road. And it's the last 200 feet to the residence, Supervisor Help, that it becomes a 15% slope with the ice and the on the road with the dense canopy shading it. Doesn't help. Just about ready to get up here to the top where the designated parking is. This is around the 200 feet where the ice patches required us still to be in four-wheel drive to get to the top. So
quick question.
Yes.
Procedural question to County Council. I know Ms. Gray is presenting her presentation, but before answering questions, I probably need to swear her in, correct? Because this is technically an appeal hearing.
Yeah, if you're asking questions, yes.
Okay, so before you start answering questions to the board, I'll need to swear you in.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome, thank you. You want to do that now?
Whatever you'd like to do.
That'll work for me. If you would, raise your right hand. And do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this appeals board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 5 public comments were received after the staff report was published and have been provided to the board. 1 was a proponent, 4 were opponents. Staff initially recommended approval of this project at the Planning Commission meeting on March 15th. However, after further analysis of the project site and the increased exposure to guests outside the area to the potential hazard of road access to the designated parking, which is a condition of approval for on-site, staff upholds the Planning Commission's decision of denial of this proposed project use permit. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Back to our protocols here. Correspondence, Wendy?
Yes, the clerk's office has received correspondence in regards to this item from Pam Oakes, Craig and Cheryl Rosen, Chris and Valerie Yancey, Greg Nazarino, Karen Rogers, and I received one this morning when I came in to work. It was stuck in my spam folder from Polly Robinson. It said there were photos attached, but I sent it to IT and there actually are no photos attached. It's a text file only. And so I have copies of those here. If you'll give me a minute, I want to give these to everybody because I did not get the one this morning forwarded to you.
Okay, so that was the correspondence from me?
Correct.
Any reports or arguments staff by other county departments or public agencies? I'm assuming none. Are you a public agency?
No, but I also sent a letter.
That's fine.
And it didn't.
What was the name?
Carmen Kinch.
I didn't get that one. If it came to me, did it go to the Planning Commission or the Planning Department instead? Believe it came in my email. I can certainly check again when I go back to my desk, but I won't be back for a while.
You can use public comments to just convey exactly and concise, and I'm sure if you sent it, we'll get to us at some point in time.
Thank you.
Proponents' arguments. Proponents' arguments.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
No, I'll go last.
Yeah, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
This is for the appellant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'll swear you in as well. When you're ready, if you raise your right hand, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give before this appeals board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And if you would, please state your name and spell your last name.
Bud, M-Y-I-M-L-A-Y.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Bud M-Y, and I'm currently reside 7533 North Old Stage Road. So basically where Deets and North Old Stage meet. I've been working for Mr. Sinibaldi for about 2 years now. And whenever Mr. Lewis is out of town, I go up to his house and maintain to make sure if he needs plowing or removal, snow removal, ice melt. I basically maintain the road for him when he's out of town, or when guests are coming into town before they come out of the house. During this last winter, I would be up there almost every day plowing his driveway down until Maple Street. While out there plowing, I kept an eye on the neighbors' houses because they weren't there during the wintertime. So I took it upon myself that any time I was up there, if I saw any shortcomings or anything that looked suspicious, I would report it to Mr. Sinibaldi. During this winter, we had the neighbors had a tree fall into the main road. That was in discussion in the video. So I took it upon myself to go up and remove said tree to keep the road open, and then contacted Mr. Sinibaldi afterwards to inform the neighbors that there was a tree from their yard that fell into the road, and I removed it out of the way. The reason why I'm bringing a lot of this up, because I know the neighbors had concerns with theft, with people coming into Mr. Sinibaldi's home, and they didn't know they were strangers. And with me living just down the street, it's also very important for myself to know what's going on up there, because it also affects my home. In the last 2 years I've worked for Mr. Sinibaldi, there hasn't been any issues with guests and the law. I personally feel no family is going to pay $400 plus a month, a weekend, to stay just to go out and loot the neighbors' homes. This is Mr. Lewis's property, Sinibaldi's property, and as long as he isn't breaking the law, he should be left alone and allowed to operate his home how he sees fit. Thank you.
Okay, well, this is a proponent, not public comment, so whoever's the proponent is who what needs to speak. Mr. Sinibaldi?
Oh.
This is your appeal.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't understand.
That's okay. You try to roll with it.
Yeah, thank you.
And young lady, there will be a time for public comment. You can speak at that time.
And when you're ready, I'll have you raise your right hand. And if you would, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about you are about to give before this appeals board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you would state and spell your last name. State your whole name and spell your last name.
Lewis Sinibaldi.
Thank you.
Sinibaldi is S-I-N-I-B-A-L-D, as in David, I.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a bunch of points, but before that, I want to ask the board, thank you for letting me speak, thank you for hearing my appeal, but I want to ask the board to remember the first time you purchased a home and how that felt for you. And remember that feeling of owning something. And then I want you to imagine that at the time you had three vehicles in your home, whether it was you, your wife, or your partner, and one for your kids. And then I want you to imagine that your neighbors are complaining because there's too much traffic on the road from three vehicles. Most of the guests that come to our home have either two or three vehicles. Rarely do they have four. And even then, there isn't a law against four vehicles being in one property. The property, as she stated, is 2,200 plus square feet. They mentioned a two-bedroom house, but it also has a mezzanine with a large area and room for more beds on the mezzanine. So it's really a three-bedroom home. I understand that the neighbors are not used to having this much traffic on the road, because I think they've become accustomed to an unusually low number of traffic going through this road. Most of them are retired. Most of them stay home most of the day, and they only have one vehicle, perhaps. But the idea that three vehicles in one home is too much traffic seems, it doesn't seem normal to me. I think everybody would understand that three vehicles is okay to be going in and out of a home, especially if the people are working every day, they have to go to work. Anyway, so now I'll get to my points. First, I want to point out, there's a packet that I sent, there's a 60-page packet I hope you guys got to read it, but I'll just make some of the points that I made there. I want to first point out that the planning department recommended granting approval to us. It is only now that there were opponents to this, and the board, the planning department, or the planning board denied us, that everybody's falling in line to support that denial and make it seem that it was just. Regarding the surge in traffic, it is reasonable. This is something I just spoke about. The three cars going to a property. It's not like we're, imagine you had a house and you were inviting five friends to come on Monday nights to watch football. Would five cars be too much every week when there's football season or basketball season or anything? I don't think so. I believe during the heavy snowstorms, there are many motorists that get stuck, many on their way to a destination other than their homes. However, that destination is not held liable for those motorists, as denying us this permit would make us liable for them, even when we take actions to mitigate or remove this incident. Also, another point I have is, if you look at page 7 on my packet, you will see an approach to our property from All Stage Road all the way to the property. This is similar to the map that you had seen before, where it talks about the 15th grade and the 18th grade entry. Currently, there are three homes that would be affected. Bless you. There are two homes that would be affected if our guests, for that matter, if we were to get stuck on Maple Drive. There are two other lots down Maple Drive that have not been developed. But when they do get developed, I would assume that Maple Drive would get plowed and cleared all the way to the other road, Dogwood Drive. The second that happens, there would be two ways to access Maple Drive, either from the front or go all the way around Dogwood and come back. So if those properties do get developed, I don't think this would be an issue as far as a car, one car or two cars getting stuck on Maple. You could go around it. There's another way to go. On page 6 through 11 of my packet, I documented all the phone calls to the area, to 530 area code or to any of our neighbors' phone calls. And if you go through those, you'll see that in the last two winters, there have only been six incidents of somebody being stuck on Maple Drive. I have phone records and I have texts and everything that shows that every time that that happened and we received a notification of that, we took immediate action to send out somebody to help them. We called the guests and had them remove their vehicle immediately. And we're not these absentee owners that they're trying to paint us out to be. Also, there is a call on, I believe it's March 10th of this year, where two of our neighbors called us saying that our guests had been stuck and prevented them from getting to their home. That was not our guest. We didn't have anybody at the property. In fact, one of our workers was going there to help try to fix the tractor, which I purchased to try to help remove the snow. But unfortunately, I purchased it at an auction, and it's taken us about a month and a half to get it working. I don't have the means to buy a brand new tractor, unfortunately. But on his way there, he encountered one of the neighbors that says that they got stuck. And later, we received a call saying that our person were blocking, which is not the case. And then on page 12 of my packet, I'm not sure if you have it in front of you, there is an email, and towards the bottom, there's a following quote from the person that administers or collects the money to repair our road. And in that statement, towards the middle of that email, it says, "We are aware," and I quote, "We are aware that you are using this house as a rental. This has always been a nice, quiet residential road, and none of us likes to see a bunch of cars we do not know driving on the roads. We believe, sincerely believe, that this is the root cause of all the complaints. This was made known to us in the first summer that we owned the house in 2021, we already knew that our neighbors were against it. This is before any winter conditions or any mud conditions or anything like that. I don't want to explain to you what this means. I want you to think about what that statement would mean to you if it was said against your property, if it was said against your family. This is something that is affecting my wife, myself, and our family that we're trying to build. I'd also like to direct you through our packet and see our communications with neighbors. We have been cordial, respectful, communicative, but more importantly, have always taken quick action to resolve any issues. I'd also like to draw your attention to page 19 through 22 of our packet and see that there are 16 other Airbnbs in the area, some even in Hammond Ranch, and we took the liberty of highlighting some reviews which may speak of the difficulty getting to their destination. One even describing how the road was closed and they were not able to reach their destination, yet that Airbnb is allowed to conduct business. So we feel like we're unfairly singled out in this situation. Everybody knows in Weed and Hammond Ranch, especially with dirt roads, that snow is an issue and cars will break down or will get stuck in the snow. Everybody who purchased a property on Hammond Ranch was aware that these were dirt roads, not paved roads. And I think everybody should understand that at times, there will be times where people driving on their roads may get stuck. This is not an unusual circumstance, and it's not something just something that our guests will experience. What if we get stuck on Hammond Ranch? Are we being a nuisance or a danger to everybody else? What if my parents come and visit and they get stuck? Should we be prevented from having guests? It doesn't make sense to me. I also have additional comments, and I have copies if everybody would like to get them, in the response to the staff report. If you don't mind, if you bear with me and I can read the whole page, that would be great, because I'm a little nervous and I don't want to miss anything. I would like to explain why using a house for owner use and short-term rental is essentially the same thing. First, the fundamental purpose of the property is exactly the same, where the owner uses it or the renter, or it's rented out for a short term. People who stay in the house need a place to sleep, cook, eat, relax, and unwind. And this remains unchanged regardless of whether the owner is using it or not. Secondly, the amenities and facilities provided in the house for both type of uses are often very similar. Whether it is the owner or a short-term guest staying in the property, they expect certain amenities such as furnished living room, bedrooms, comfortable beds, functional kitchen, and a clean bathroom. These basic amenities are typically provided for both cases, with perhaps a few extra features including short-term rentals to make this stay more enjoyable. Moreover, the maintenance and upkeep required for the property is also similar in both cases. The owner must ensure that the house is in good condition and that any necessary repairs are promptly carried out, just like a property manager would in a short-term rental. In fact, in a short-term rental, the place would be immaculate and more maintained than when somebody lives there. Finally, it is worth noting that short-term rentals can sometimes be even less demanding on the property than owner use, with a shorter duration of stays and less days per month being used. The wear and tear on the property may be less, as there is less time for damage to occur. This also applies to the roads. Like I said, we only rented about 16 days a month. If we were living there with three vehicles, there would be more traffic than there currently is right now. Therefore, using a house for owner and use of short-term rental is essentially the same thing. Both involve providing occupants with a place to sleep, eat, relax, and unwind. The amenities, maintenance, and management of the property are similar in both cases. Therefore, there's no significant difference an owner using the property or renting a house for a short term other than perhaps less use. I also want to address the idea that the property is located in a fire-prone area with limited accessibility, making it incompatible for the use of short-term rentals. I would like to point out that owner use would also have the same risk, and yet it is currently approved to use as owner use. meaning if me and my family were in the property, there is still a risk of trying to escape the property during a fire and it being difficult. Whether somebody's renting it or we live there, there's still a human risk. In fact, owner use would have the house occupied for a full month as opposed to about half a month of short-term rental. Therefore, owner use will present the same, if not more, risk. Therefore, if owner use is approved, is an approved use for the property, it is reasonable to assume that short-term rental will also be a viable use for the property. In addition, I would like to address concerns raised by the fire department about our property's location and proximity to vegetation and trees. It is important to know that our immediate neighbors have more trees closer to their home, yet they have not been cited for fire department or forced to stop using their homes as a place where people can sleep, eat, and relax. If I have a map with me that I can also distribute, but you could also look at the previous aerial map, and you can see that our property, I'm not sure if somebody can pull it out.
If anything's going to be submitted, it needs to come in as evidence.
Okay.
Do you have that document? You have copies?
Yeah. These are all the copies. The first is the letter that I read. The second one is the maps.
There's two.
This is just a copy of the staff report.
Two items.
In conclusion, if the building department has approved the homes for occupancy, I deem them safe. I am talking about the three homes on the same incline. It is logical to assume that they are also safe for short-term rental. Any concerns about the property's location or proximity to vegetation and trees should have been addressed equally for both owner use and short-term rental. And all three homes in the area should be treated equally, or the only conclusion is that we are being unfairly discriminated against. My last statement, I just want to state that all three homes have been approved by the planning department and given a certificate of occupancy. Therefore, stating that it's safe for somebody to sleep in these homes, to live in these homes, and relax in these homes. And the idea that all of a sudden the fire department feels it's unsafe for that use seems weird to me, since the house was built in 1999, and all these years, none of these concerns have been brought up. I'd also like to point out, finally, that where most of the guests have difficulty ascending is that 18% grade or 17% grade that they spoke about. That is not on our property. That's on an easement on another person's property. We've discussed with them the idea of regrading to reduce the risk of going up there, and that hasn't been met with, I don't want to say how that's met, but we are willing to do the work of regrading and make the whole property safe for everyone, because the two homes right below us also have to go up that incline. We are trying to be good neighbors. We understand that there's an increase of traffic apparent to them, but I don't think it's an unfair amount of traffic based on the property. If we are being denied this, then will the next person who wants to develop the lot next to us, will they also be denied their home because it will increase traffic? The first person that moved into Hammond Ranch had only one vehicle going in. Would they be allowed to deny everybody else from building on Hammond Ranch because they got used to one vehicle driving on Hammond Ranch? We think it's unfair. We want to be proactive. We want to be courteous to our neighbors, and we want to be good neighbors and add to the value of everyone's property and the area. And we're willing to work with people if they're willing to work with us. We're okay. Not evil people. We're trying to be good. Thank you so much for hearing me.
Thank you. It says opponents, but I'm going to go directly into public comments. Tom Waring.
Mr. Karen, for public comments, do they need to be sworn in, and they're not necessarily giving evidence, they're just, or giving testimony?
I don't believe so. I think it's just a public comment.
Yeah, I agree. Public comment.
Just public. Thank you.
State your name. 3 minutes.
My name is Tom Waring. I live in 3710. Dale Creek Road, Hammond Ranch. I've owned that property for about 30 years. And I've lived there full-time with my wife since 2005. For more than a decade, I was on the board of the Hammond Landowners Association, half of that time as its chair. Presently, I'm on the committee of the Dale Creek Road Users Committee. We raise the money for Dale Creek Road. We perform the maintenance on Dale Creek Road. That road is about 3 miles in length and serves many feeder roads, approximately 175 parcels on the west side of Hammond Ranch. I've also been a volunteer snow plower on Dale Creek Road for more than 10 years. And I'm a retired lawyer. I have some understanding of California law regarding easements. Mr. Sinopaldi seems to have some misunderstanding about easements. Hammond Ranch was created by a parcel map, not by a subdivision. And that parcel map took thousands of acres and created hundreds, about 350 today, parcels, all private property, no common areas, no dedicated commonly or publicly owned roads. The roads are dots and dashes on the map. It says that it is a permanent right-of-way. In California, there are many kinds of easements. Right-of-ways are just that. It's a way of going, passing over property. There are many things that you cannot do on a right-of-way thing at this kind of right-of-way. For example, you can't hunt or fish, or you can't photograph birds by stopping, and you can't park. So Mr. Sinopaldi says that it's a mere inconvenience for people to park on the road. That's not correct. It's not permitted. That's a violation of his easement. He could lose his easement if somebody chose to do that. It's also a trespass. Hammond Ranch, when it was created by parcels, that was recorded at the same time a two-page CCNRs. Very simple, very basic. But one of the things it says is that owners shall comply with all local, state, and federal rules and should refrain from a number of things, including anything that is injurious to another party. So I would submit to you that violation of the easement and trespassing on someone's property is that.
Thank you.
Also, I'd like to...
Your 3 minutes are up. I'm sorry. Public comment is only 3 minutes. Okay. And the beep, that was with the beep. So I
two more things.
I'm sorry, public comment, because if I do it for you, I got to do it for everyone.
Okay.
So I appreciate written comments now. And send those in. Tony Robinson.
Holly Robinson, 1821 Maple Drive, across the street from, across the road from 1900. Half a mile from the county maintained road, and right next to where the road ceases to be maintained by us. I've lived there for 38 years. My husband has been plowing that road for over 25 years, and he retired 3 years ago. 2 years ago, December 21st, in a snowstorm in the evening, three cars showed up at the end of our driveway. I didn't know who they were, but they were new neighbors trying to get up the road. They were stuck. That road is icy. We know all about that. We've had neighbors, three owners have left there because they were sick of plowing, and they just wanted to sell out. And so my husband was very neighborly, new neighbors, right? People that were going to be hanging around, locals. And he offered them our space by the garden to park. I saw the writing on the wall. I said, I'm out of here. The next day, I moved to our property, which is 3 miles down the road. And it's 1,000 feet lower out of the Little Siberia snow belt that we are famous for on our road. And by the way, I used to ski in there and before I met my husband. And that was for about 6 or 7 years I used to ski in there. And so December 21st, in a snowstorm in the evening, three cars get stuck, I move, I leave, go to our property. My husband comes down a week later. We are located on Old Stage Road next to the county maintained road. He has an emergency on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, medical emergency. Get on the road, go to the hospital, he's fine. If we had been on Maple Drive, we don't know. We don't know how that would have fared for us. And we go up there daily, maybe every other day. We're not absentee owners. We don't live out of the county. We're not taking profits away from the county, which is actually not to our benefit, to any of us here. And I think I'd like to make another point about, you know, the fact that these Airbnbs in areas like ours where the absentee owners are dangerous to all of us. Fire area, snow area, and we have to really look out for Siskiyou County folks, really. We have to look out for our kids, our grandkids, and we have to have a future here that you guys have to think about. We have to think about how we actually really set things up for the future. We can't be messing around anymore. It's way out of hand on these Airbnbs. You guys are really in charge. You're the voice of reason. You're the, you know, you are Siskiyou County, and we look to you to make the right decisions.
Thank you. Online, though?
Agree 100%.
Karen R., it's your turn to speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes, state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Great, okay, my name is Karen Rogers. I live on Maple Drive, 1745 Maple Drive. I've lived here for 38 years. This road is a very unusual situation. It, the original planning didn't account for how it was to be maintained, so we're really on our own with plowing, maintaining, grading. And it's at times, in the early years, it wasn't plowed at all, and we had to either hike or snowshoe or ski out in the winter. So there is, with more and more neighbors, there's more plowing now, but there's times, days, where we can't even get a plower for the whole road, and this last winter was a pretty extreme situation. In all the years here, I've never been stuck in Maple Drive. The owners here, we don't want to get stuck. We don't want to block our neighbors. So you buy the right car, and you know, you watch the micro conditions and know when you stay calm. The first and only time I ever got stuck in the road was March 9th, 2023. I was headed home. I knew I needed to get home. It was a big storm. I had my grandson in the car with me, and I was making it just fine. But then a car was stuck in the road, and it was, I had never seen them before, and I said, do you live here? No, we don't. They had a tiny sports car, and my heart sunk because I knew how fast the snow was falling, that they weren't, you know, that they could potentially cause me to get stuck. And in fact, they didn't have a shovel. I did. They borrowed it, and it took about an hour, and even they couldn't get themselves out. Some other neighbors came by, got them out, but by that time probably another 5 inches of snow had fallen, and lo and behold, I couldn't get home, and I had my grandson with me. I'm raising him, and it was, again, in 38 years, never been stuck. The couple said they were looking for a motel, and it just seemed a little strange. Now, I have been told it doesn't have anything to do with the Sinibaldis and that we weren't staying there, and I'm not doubting that, but my point is, people that don't know the roads out here in winter can easily get in over their head, even if they have a four-wheel drive, even if they have chains. So not having access to the home, I had to work very hard to try to undig myself. I couldn't do it. My grandson and I had to walk home in the dark in really deep snow, and then I blocked the whole road. So again, I've never happened. So it was from the people who are from out of the area just don't have any idea. And if you don't live here and sort of know the day-to-day conditions, you just sort of learn when to stay home or when to get home, and not get out on the road.
Okay, thank
so,
you. Your 3 minutes are up. You wrap it up in 10 seconds. You're good to go.
I just believe we need a revision to our short-term ordinance that deals with extreme access situations like this and
okay.
also extreme fire danger situations. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Kevin.
Caller ending in 1810, it's your turn to speak.
Lawson. Anyone in the house that hasn't filled out a form would like to speak, public comment? Is there time for public comment? Someone would like to speak for or against?
Yeah, my name is Gary Rolls, R-A-L-L-S, and I work for Mr. Cedarbaldi. The last caller there, I had gone up the night before and made sure that the guests that were up there were made it out all right, and then I was going back up the following day because I work on a tractor that he had bought to clear the road, okay, and she told me that people coming down that were running away. I knew this wasn't true because I went up and got them out of the house the night before. And then she had left her car in the middle of the road with a shovel behind it and a note saying I walked to my house. So I called her up. I told her where I was going. Oh, well, I'll be down there in about 20 minutes. So I waited. In the meantime, snowplow comes up behind me. He goes, what are you doing? I said, well, she's car stuck ahead of me. I'm waiting for her to come down to haul. And he says, I'm going home. So he turned around and left. I waited, shoveled her out, cleared the road for her with my pickup, because I got a good-sized pickup, and made it to where she can get into her property, all right? Then I went on up and continued working on the tractor he had bought because the clutch went out. That's why the snow was so bad, because he had purchased a tractor and the clutch went out on it and I was repairing it. So, yeah, I would enjoy having a neighbor like him. I own a home in Weed and I see nothing wrong with what he's doing up there. And yeah, it ain't right that he's not allowed to rent it because of people being in their way, because that wasn't the case. And I don't know, it's not right for him not to be able to rent his own property, I don't believe. And I'm kind of nervous standing here. Yeah, what took place there wasn't what she just explained on the phone. And she was in the way of me getting up there. And there was, if a car was stuck in front of her and made her stuck, it would have still been there. And it wasn't there. There was no vehicle in front of her. She was driving the car. She had no tire chains, nothing. And by law in California, you're supposed to have tire chains this time of year. She didn't. But I still helped her get out, made sure she was able to get into her home. You know, and the first day I got the tractor fixed, that 8% or 12% grade, whatever it is, first thing I did was back to Baghdad so that it wasn't rutted no more. You know, that was the beginning there.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else under public comment? Come on up. Make sure you fill out a card. State your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
My name is Candace Green, and I am a real estate agent in Mississippi County for the last 23 years. Lewis and Joan purchased the home. They were looking for something that they could possibly Airbnb, and so they knew that they would have to get a permit, but in choosing the home, they knew that it had the appropriate acreage for what the county was requiring. And after they closed, they found out what was going to be needed, the modifications needed on the home. They needed to raise some railings and things like that. Replace one window so it was larger. They spent a significant amount of money getting it ready for the use permit so that they would be able to use this home in this capacity. it was a beautiful home, still is, and they wouldn't have had to do any of that work if they weren't trying to use it as an Airbnb. I've driven the road many times this winter. I'm not a certified four-wheel drive specialist by any means, but I've driven myself up to the house, and it hasn't been a problem. As far as the parking is concerned, there's a significant amount of parking that I know that they would have there. They've got two people here to work on them, keep clear if there were going to be people at the house. We all know this was a significant winter, much more intense than we've been used to in the last 20 years. I know it used to be like this. But they are very responsible, and they would make sure that the area was cleared that needed to be cleared. So those pictures that were taken, there wasn't anybody staying there then. They were not renting it out. They're not being allowed to rent it out, and so they were waiting. And they would clear as many spaces as they needed. They are extremely conscientious people, Lewis and Joan. They care about the people in the neighborhood, and they care about the natural beauty of the neighborhood. And I just feel that anybody would be lucky to have them as neighbors, since they're looking out not only for themselves, but for those around them. And they have the local help if they're not here to, as Gary said, get people where they need to be and do what needs to be done on the property. Thank you.
Craig Rosen?
Yeah. I, rather than go over all the winter...
State your name for the record, please.
My name's Craig Rosen. I've been a resident of Ham Ranch for 37 years. Mill worker in the county for 25. Love Ham Ranch. Everybody on this back wall back here loves Ham Ranch, and they just want to keep it the way it's been for the last 38 years. Rather than to go into the wintertime problems, which are ongoing every winter, this winter more than others, I want to point out that these people go to this residence not to chill out and stay there most of the time. They're back and forth all the time. They come to go to the ski park. We've had snowmobile clubs up in there. There's been as much as 16 people staying there at a time. It's rated for four people, the septic system. But the main concern is people go bombing back and forth on Maple Drive. They go back there to sleep mostly, and then they're enjoying the area, which we all know that we have. So it's been a quiet, beautiful area for a long time. And I think Airbnbs are okay, but in the right application. I don't believe this is the right application.
Thank you. Carmen Kinch.
Good afternoon. Thank you. My name is Carmen Kinch. Just to quickly review, I was in the situation with the people stuck in the road with Karen, and I was behind her, and they were looking for a short-term rental. I don't know if they were, why they were there, but they were stuck, and that it wasn't Karen. So just to clarify that. My concern is not necessarily the winter traffic, although it is a concern, but it has been adequately addressed. My concern is the overall traffic. I walk and run on that road every single day with dogs, with friends, and the traffic coming down that road are always speeding. We had snowmobile drivers last year. There were fire trucks. It's increased the traffic every single day. I see it. I live where I can actually see Maple Drive, unlike some of my neighbors. And I have discussed this with Lewis, the speeding. We have a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit on our road, and we all abide by that. People from out of town do not. And when people come to my house, and I do have guests come to my house, I tell them, please drive slowly. So no matter how many times you tell people to drive 15 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour is quite slow, and people from out of town don't respect that. And I've been on that road when I've been physically waving my arms trying to slow people down to keep them from running over my dogs. And it's not right. I love Maple Drive. I've lived there 23 years. I love knowing my neighbors, and I don't like seeing a lot of cars and people that I don't know coming up and down my road. I've never locked my doors in 23 years. My garage was entered last year, and I got a gas can stolen and my helmet stolen. out of my garage, so now I'm locking my doors, and I don't like that either. So thank you very much for hearing us. I hope you make the right decision.
Anyone else in public comment? And anyone online?
Sean, then online.
Hi, my name is Danielle Muniz Cardenas. I live in Shasta.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Danielle Muniz Cardenas. I've lived in Shasta for 10 years. I myself am a homeowner and property owner in Mount Shasta. I am Luis and Jones' housekeeper, so I am actually up there every time a guest checks out. Anytime anything else needs to be done within the house, boom, I'm there. I have a Subaru Crosstrek. I've never had any issues getting up and down the road, and I do not have four-wheel drive nor chains on my car. Another thing is, as I would like to respect keeping Shasta a small, lovely town, unfortunately, the world is getting bigger. Inviting people into this town is not illegal or unlawful. And, you know, as much as we'd like to keep it a small town, our town in Mount Shasta thrives off tourism. Without tourism, businesses shut down. They are creating a beautiful space for families, and it is a beautiful, lovely home. I've cleaned it every single time people have left there. There's never been any issues, parties, or anything like that. And I've been cleaning houses for 10 years now. Especially because of how nice the home is on Airbnb. Kids who are trying to party or anything like that are not going to have the money to rent that house out. I feel like the complaints against keeping the road unused or minimize the usage is really, there's no law against that. It's not unlawful. Unfortunately, there are tons of properties out in Hammond Ranch, and there's always going to be traffic. And trying to complain to the county to keep it something small, there's really not much you can say about that, because it's not a lot. There is a HOA gated property right up the road that could have been chosen as well. People, all they wanted was privacy. And that area is very nice. It has a gate and a code on it, and there's no short-term rentals allowed in that area. But I think that makes my statement. Airbnb, real quick. On Airbnb, you have the right to approve people or deny people. It's not an open Airbnb. So not only are you seeing who's coming into the Airbnb, you have people's credit card information, and you get to approve and even see their reviews as well.
Thank
before
you.
You let random people onto your property.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else under public comment? Please fill out a card and state your name for the record. You have 3 minutes.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Joan Mendoza Sinvaldi.
Ma'am?
Property address 1900 Maple.
Are you giving public comment, or are you testifying as one of the appellants?
This is public comment, Wendy, so.
I know, but she's one of the appellants,
oh, okay.
I believe. Correct?
I know, but this is also a public comment.
Just for public. Okay.
Yes,
just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
And it's more personal, not.
That's fine. You're doing
okay. Firstly, I would like to thank you for allowing me to speak. And I just wanted to say that our home service is much more than just a vacation rental. It has been a place of refuge and healing, especially for myself. I suffer from anxiety, and standing up here is not really helping. The peace and tranquility of our home have been a strong source of comfort, allowing me to alleviate my symptoms and manage my condition better. Similarly, our guests who come to visit us have the same motivation to come and take a break from their busy lives, to unwind and immerse themselves in nature. They don't come here to party or disrupt the peace. Instead, they come here looking for a peaceful and rejuvenating experience. Our home has also served as a source of financial support for my husband and I to fund our fertility treatment. This has been a long and difficult journey for us, and we're grateful to have found a way to fund it. However, I'm here today to express a disappointment and frustration with issues we have faced with our neighbors in the planning department. The complaints that causes people minor inconveniences have led to depletion of our finances, which has caused us to stop our treatments. And the impact goes far beyond this. We are here today with our staff, who've been with us for almost 2 years. They have helped us run our rental smoothly, and they rely on our rental property for their livelihood. By continuing to rent our home, we can help ensure these individuals can support their families. Therefore, we implore you to allow us to exercise our rights as homeowners to use our home as we see fit. This will help us continue to employ our staff and contribute to the economy. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Greg
Jesuino.
Hello. My name is Greg Nazareno. I'm the owner of 1910 Maple Drive, which is 300 feet from the parcel in question. The easement, the 18% easement issue, that piece of easement, which is not really an easement, goes directly through my property. So I own that part of the road. And I do not appreciate people telling me that I have to change the easement or the grade of the easement on my property when indeed it is not an easement. If that's the way people feel about it, I will close off that piece of property, and then they can use the actual easement, which is probably 40 feet down the road. So, again, it's my property that's on that 8% grade, and it's gotten worse because more and more people are traveling on it. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Anyone else under public comment? Yeah, anyone online?
Only none
online. Once on public comment?
No.
Through
the chair.
You got one on public comment on here. You got one online, then we'll come to you.
Caller Indian 6235, it's your turn to speak.
Hi, my name is Valerie Yancey. Our property is at 1906 Maple Drive, right across from Dr. Nazareno, who just spoke. And I would completely agree with him about wanting to close off his 18% slope that's on his property because it was never damaged until now. And for the past few years, it keeps repeatedly being damaged. And ourselves and the appellants have to continually repair it because their guests are ill-prepared during the wet, icy, muddy months to get up to that their vacation rental, and they damaged the road. So it makes a lot of ruts in it. They put salt on the road. Literally, they told Dr. Nazareno's wife that they put salt on the road to be able to get from Maple Drive up that easement, which is actually more like 1,000 feet to that vacation rental. And like Dr. Nazareno was saying, there is another easement that's the actual easement they should be using further down the road. And it's probably about a 20% grade. So I don't know if a 20% grade would be appropriate for a vacation rental or not, but that might need to be reinspected. Anyways, I think that is in fact a stunning home. It's in a stunning neighborhood, but I sent in a letter that I think you guys need to see about the home itself and the safety of it during winter months, where the snow sheds off at the main entry areas that are closest to the parking, where you would, leave the home after snow, it will actually shed off the roof and it could be a fatal accident for someone. Also, if it's not shedding off the roof, it's melting and it causes a slip and fall accident prone area just outside the sliding glass door closest to the parking area. And after you get out of the covered porch area, there's stairs that go down off of the front door. So you can see those images from when we visited neighbors there from before these owners, where those are on my packet, which is page, I think, 3, 4, and 5. You can see the home. You can see the cars that get buried in the parking area. And if someone does slip and fall or does get buried by snow shedding off that roof, good luck getting an emergency vehicle up there. Because it could take a while, a long time.
Okay, that's it. Public comment?
Don't get interrupted. I'm waiting for a phone call from my cardiologist.
Okay, well, you need to state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Hi. My name is Neil Hyman, 1616 Maple Drive. I would urge you to uphold the decision of the Planning Commission and the recommendation of the staff with regard to denying this permit. We're not anti-B&B. In fact, my wife and I both ran a B&B for a number of years, and I think it's a nice way to make some money in an appropriate location. I agree with almost all the letters from the people. There have been any problems with this property being operated as a B&B. I also concur with Karen Rogers concerning the short-term rental ordinance, and wish to add that the nature of B&Bs have changed radically since we operated one, mainly due to the internet and also to the crash of the real estate market in 2008. With the internet, business has now migrated from owner-occupied type B&Bs to investor-owned, unmonitored properties. This was driven home to me recently, I think it was last year, with this property. While I was out walking my dog, which I do religiously, rain, snow, or sleep, I observed a lot of the comings and goings of this B&B. And last year, I observed 8 large pickup trucks parked at the B&B, each towing a trailer, and each trailer containing 2 snowmobiles. When they later on did the parade down the street, as they did for 2 days, I noticed that there were more than 16 people staying in this house. I'm not bothered by the fact that was happening because it was a snowmobile in the middle of February. But it got me thinking about non-resident ownership of short-term rentals. Because right now, what can happen, someone in Sacramento could go on the internet, forward a credit card to somebody in L.A., and 16 snowmobilers show up in Hammond Ranch. Imagine instead of 16 snowmobilers showing up in February, you have 20, fraternity members from Davis showing up for a beer blast with a barbecue in September. So I think part of your short-term rental ordinance should contain some kind of protection against inappropriate behavior in locations where that could cause a danger, which I think is the case in this particular instance. Now, the other thing has to do, I would support everybody's comments, what they said on the road, both in the letters and the people who are here. We're not living off the grid where we live, but it does require complications. Every resident, as far as I know, on that street has a generator, a spare fuel tank, a working fireplace, a stack of firewood, and a four-wheel drive winterized vehicle.
Thank you. Okay, seeing no more public comment online or in-house, we're going to take a break so we can have a recuperation period, huh?
Thank you.